Let's get ready. It's time for the podcast.
Welcome to my candy-colored studio in Midway, Utah. Here I serve a palette of support, hope, and love with a side of realness. As a mother of five, i.e. three high schoolers and eight-year-old twin boys, I know that life is rarely easy and jolly, but savoring the sweet moments gives us the strength we need to find peace, growth, and fulfillment along our journey. Thanks for being you. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome back to the Candy Colored Studio. I'm artist Katrina Berg, and this is episode 206. Today, we're going to talk about some dear friends who have recently had their Instagram accounts stolen, hacked. One had a happy ending, the other one didn't, but these are just tales that we've heard from many people. Also, we're going to talk about Jenna Kutcher and her latest tips on email list marketing for artists and entrepreneurs. And we'll also talk about Swiss Days. Midway Swiss Days is coming up, and I'm doing appointments so you can come visit the studio. And then finally, the last thing we're going to talk about is a red pill on the potential dangers of ESG. So lots of things going on. I hope you're doing well. I'm sending you a huge hug today. I know that there's so much happening. This is an exciting time of year, but I know it's also very busy and crazy. And if you're like me, I'm just kind of struggling to keep up, but that's okay. It's all good. So let's talk first about Swiss Days. So Midway Swiss Days is going to be here. That's Labor Day weekend. It's the Friday and Saturday of Labor Day weekend, and it's always such a fun event. If you're planning on coming or you're going to be in the area and you would like to come visit my candy colored studio, I would love to have you come. I just need to have you email me at the letter K at KatrinaBerg.com, and we'll set an appointment to make sure that I'm here when you want to be here. We'll be going back and forth between the Midway Swiss Days event. We only live a couple blocks from the square, and so I'll be running back and forth, but I don't want to miss you. So make sure to reach out and make an appointment, and I'm looking forward to that. I've got some little minis. You can take a peek at these big pieces I've been working on, and then of course I have prints and products, and of course you can see where the magic happens. So that is coming up. Again, that's Labor Day weekend. And it's just the Friday and Saturday of Labor Day weekend. If you're going to be around and you want to come Monday, just email me. We'll make sure that whatever works out best for you, that we can make something fit. So, okay, so that's Swiss Days, and I'll probably talk about it in next week's episode too, because again, it's only once a year. Other studio updates: I'm still working on the dancer painting, this big piece that I'm working on for a Woman's Journey show down at Written Vision with MacArthur Krishna, one of my very favorite people. And I'm getting in a groove. We're making a lot of progress. So that one should be amazing if it finished this week, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Meanwhile, my awesome friend Todd Orchard came the other day and dropped off some exquisite frames, and I'm so excited. We're talking like amazing. So if you've been kind of following along, Todd has been pretty much doing these amazing things with plaster. You know, he's really been exploring, and I'm looking at one of them right now, and it's really exciting. So of course, if you come to my studio, you'll get to see some of those as well. Also, a dear friend and artist, Melissa Colton, did a portrait of our twins a couple summers ago, and Todd finished a frame for that as well. And it is amazing. Oh, it's the most beautiful frame. So I'll take a picture and put photos in the show notes of this episode. Just go to KatrinaBerg.com, click on podcast. And again, this is episode 206. You just click on that. You'll see pictures and all the links of people and places that I've mentioned during this episode. So that was really exciting. He also dropped off some panels, some circle panels. I'm working on some new pieces for Beljar in Heber City. My dear friends Desiree and Amy that run Beljar, I've been wanting to get them some new pieces. So that will be coming. Hopefully they'll be done sometime in September. So if you're not on my email list, go ahead and get on there, because that's the best way to know when stuff like this drops. And it looks like I've got, I think there are three new pieces pieces, circles, and Todd's finishing the frames, but I have the panels. So I'm going to get working on those as soon as I finish the dancer piece. So really exciting things happening in the studio. But let's talk about some crazy stuff that's happening on Instagram. This stuff has been happening for a long time. I've actually known about several people whose Instagrams accounts have gotten hacked and they've been locked out of their accounts. And then it seems like the general idea is that the hackers then basically hold your accounts hostage until you pay them whatever it is, whether it's Bitcoin or money or who knows, whatever it is that they want. And then if you, they just hold it for ransom. They are like literal kidnappers of your Instagram. And I'm sure everybody knows someone who's gone through this, but I had one of my best friends, her account, Nancy Andrew, and her account got hacked earlier in the summer. And then another artist friend, Rose Daytalk Doll, she had her account hacked within the last couple weeks. And fortunately for her, she was able to look and find some like YouTube videos that told her exactly what to do. Now, what is interesting about these situations is that both well, in all situations that I've heard of in the past, like usually it's not something that Instagram can necessarily help you with, or they choose not to help you with. It's a huge company. I'm sure there's lots of reasons for this, but Rose basically said that it was those videos that she watched on YouTube that really helped her. And that's amazing because I don't know if Nancy will be able to get hers back. She jumped in there, like she just kept going and she started a new account and she's doing really well. But I know it was very stressful and frustrating for her. What is crazy is that as I listened to how it happened to Rose, I realized that I could have also been hacked. So a good friend of mine, her sister-in-law's mom has DM'd me in the past about stuff. Ironically enough, she was going to come to Swiss Days and she, or maybe she couldn't come to Swiss Days and she wanted some of the things that I was going to have at my booth. And she comes regularly to Midway. So we were just going to have her come stop by and look through the stuff that she was going to miss. And what's interesting is that I got a DM from her account. It basically said, hey, would you vote for me on this something, something? And I was like, that's weird. I really don't know this person that well. Like, okay. And then I got another message from her and I thought to myself, you know, that's really strange. I don't really know much about her, but it seems like a weird thing that she's asking me to do this and kind of picturing who it was and her age. And I thought, well, who am I to judge? Maybe she's got a new passion and I could check it out and support her. And honestly, I am not on Instagram very much, as you probably have realized. So basically, I just hadn't been on there for several days. And honestly, I just don't think I was low enough. The fruit was just not low enough, you know, like it wasn't low hanging fruit. And so I wasn't worth the hacker's time. And so I just kind of let it go because then I was like, I just don't know if I feel good about this. And lo and behold, it could have been the exact same hackers. So you can go on Rose's Instagram. It's, by the way, if you didn't catch it, she really did get back her original account, which is great. And I'm so happy for her. So her Instagram is Rose Daytalk Doll. And I'll put a link in the show notes. You can like click on there and check it out if you want to kind of hear about her experience. And then my husband sent me an article that, that they talked about it and she was interviewed locally. Anyways, you can look up all that information if it ever happens to you or your friends or family. Meanwhile, what I thought about when I first saw this, I had two thoughts. Number one, when Carl sent me that link, I thought, oh, this is great because as horrible as it is that Rose had to go through this, it's awesome press. I'm like, this is a great way to get out there who she is, what she's doing, you know, and like people love to support you when you're struggling. And so I just thought this could be really beneficial for her. That's the first thing I wrote to him. I was was like, this could be really great. You know, it's a horrible thing to go through, but this could be really great for Rose. And then the second thing that I thought of was, oh, just another reminder that we don't own our Instagram accounts. And it's the same thing for Facebook and LinkedIn and Pinterest and TikTok and Snapchat and all the places. Again, we are using their space. We're using their platforms. Even Etsy. Etsy is the same way. So it's very fascinating, right? And also scary. But then it made me think again, like, okay, this is an important thing that we need to ask ourselves. How much time and effort are we putting into our social media platforms? Okay, so ask yourself that. How much time and effort are you putting into your social media platform? And what is the return? Are the views, the likes, and the followers turning into real results? So lots of things to think about. So meanwhile, I had just not long before this happened, I had recently caught up on Jenna Kutcher's podcast. It's called The Goal Digger, G-O-A-L. Digging your latest goals. She says something about that on her podcast, but she was talking about email lists. And I will tell you that Jenna Kutcher and Amy Porterfield, I've talked about Amy in the past. I'll link to that episode. I think it was like 183. Let's see if I can remember what episode it was. But anyways, I'll link to it in my show notes. But these ladies have taught me so much about email lists and email list marketing and why you need it and how to help serve your people the best you possibly can with your email list. Well, if you have ever wanted to step up your email list game, now's the time. Like, there's really no bad time, but it's a really good time. There's a lot of really great resources out there. And I would say Jenna's latest podcast about it is really great. She takes you through her email list journey, and it's really great. So let me just tell you some of the things she said. Number one, she said her email list is a resource that she owns. Okay, so contrast to your Instagram, your Facebook, all your other social media accounts. Think about that. Number two, it is the number one way that she drives profits in her business. Okay, so think about all the people coming to your business. How are they coming? This is the number one way that people are coming to Jenna. Number three, it's the health indicator of her business. Okay, this is a good one. I think a lot of times we're asking ourselves, is our business profitable? Are we, you know, are we efficient? Are we reaching the right people? Like, are the perfect collectors for your artwork or your business? Business or whatever, are they looking for you and they can't find you? What's the reason why you haven't connected yet? And is that an indicator of the health of your business? All of those things, right? And then number four, she said it's the number one way that she and her team do sales. Okay, good stuff. So and she went through a bunch of things. And again, I totally recommend that you go listen to this episode. I will embed it in the show notes, but it is episode 588. I'll also have a link. You could go straight to the all of her show notes on this particular episode. Okay, a couple other things that she shared. She said that 61% of consumers like to be contacted by brands through email. So then I thought to myself, oh yeah, that's true. It's true for me. I definitely like to get emails regularly from brands and, you know, products that I'm interested in. Recently, I finally had to give up some shoes that I bought when I was on study abroad in Italy. We had spent the break between semesters. My roommates and I had gone to Barcelona for the break, and we had the most magical time. And while we were there, I found the most wonderful shoes. They're like platform sandals. They had these, like, I don't know, weaved, wrapped, I don't know what you would call it, but they were so comfortable. And we did so much walking, and my cute roommates were always trying to help me find some decent shoes because I had to carry around way too many Band-Aids to get through my time in Italy. But anyways, those shoes have lasted since 2002. So it's been 20 years I've been using those shoes, and they're amazing. Well, I have looked online several times to try to like buy another pair from that designer, and I couldn't find it. And fortunately, when I checked a few weeks back, we were cleaning our little shoe closet, and sure enough, I finally must have searched the right terms, or they finally had a website that my search engines were grabbing onto, maybe because it's now in English. But anyways, I found it and I was so happy. And the first thing I did was subscribe to their email list because I want to be able to buy another pair of, you know, platform sandals. And so I'm kind of watching the different collections they have because it's been 20 years. In fact, the designer has passed away. I think it said that his daughter is running it now, but they're very similar. And I just thought I would watch for a while and see what I would like to purchase. So anyways, totally true. I definitely subscribe to emails of things. Specifically, I find for me a lot, I'm not ready to buy right then, but I know that when I am ready, I want to have them just in the back of my mind and ready to go. So another thing that Jenna shared was that 99% of email users check their inboxes every single day. And even scarier, some are checking up to 20 times a day. Oh my gosh, I will admit that some days I check more than others, but wow, that's amazing to know that number one, 99% of them check their email boxes every single day. Now, I obviously am not checking my Instagram every day. If I'm checking, I'm literally checking to see if anyone DM'd me or like I have all my notifications turned off. So I'm not really on there. So I ask you, ask yourself, like, how often are you checking your email compared to your social media, right? And also, when you check your social media, are you like me? Do you not have time to check up on every little thing from all the people you're following? I mean, I'm definitely following too many people, and that's what happens, right? So I'm definitely not seeing everything. So that's why the email lists are particularly helpful for me. I remember when I basically switched from Facebook to Instagram, I think I had both accounts, but Facebook was starting to implement their algorithm and I was missing out on important things like people's babies being born that I love, like friends, like really good friends and family members. And I would miss the memo and I felt awful. And so I remember thinking, I'm going to put more effort into Instagram because I can catch up on everyone. Because back then there wasn't an algorithm and I would just scroll till I saw something I had already seen. And then I knew I was caught up on everything. Well, it's not like that now. I can't catch up with everything. So the emails are just totally the best way for me. So another thing that Jenna shared was that 58% of those email users, they check their email before they go to social media. So again, ask yourself, what do you do? What's your habit? Do you get on Instagram or Pinterest or, you know, wherever? Do you do that first or do you start with your email? And I'm definitely like all those people. Obviously, I'm checking my email first. I'm making sure that everything is taken care of personally and with my business before I ever get on social media. Okay, so another thing that Jenna shared that I thought was really great was she said that if she had to choose one marketing strategy, and obviously that could be Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, her blogging, TV spots and interviews, articles, all kinds of things. She said that she would choose her email list. And she recently launched her very first book. And despite all the requirements that she was kind of getting from publishers and the marketing team, she knew that her priority needed to be her email list. And I thought that was really telling. Again, lots of great things. And I have had lots of really wonderful things happen from Instagram and social media. It's been a source of inspiration, friendship, support, introductions. And yet, one thing that I've really learned from both Jenna and Amy is that social media is so good for an introduction. It's great for people to get to know you and who you are, but then if they want to get to know you deeper, the email list is the perfect way to explain more about what you do and who you are and where you're at and all those things, how they can get in touch with you and go to your events. So I found that once I started putting more effort into my email list, there were so many great things that started happening. And I wrote down five, and I'll just share those with you. The first one that's kind of interesting is that I started selling larger pieces consistently. Before, you know, you could easily put some little pieces up on Instagram and they go pretty quickly, and that's so much fun and it's exciting. But I found that when I started putting that time into the email list, it was consistently larger pieces that were selling. So that was interesting. Number two, I found that a group of collectors were regularly attending my events and shows, probably because they didn't have to constantly check their social media or worry if they missed a post. They were getting reminders in their inbox regularly. And I think that's awesome. Number three was I started noticing more repeat sales. So the same collectors coming back and purchasing again and again. And that was kind of cool. Number four, I noticed that more of my collectors knew what my art was about. They understood my process, my tools, all kinds of stuff like that. And I thought that was really amazing. And that's something that I definitely think happened because I started sharing deeper about each of the facets of my art process and, you know, just everything. So then the fifth thing that I noticed was that I personally felt like I was serving my collectors better overall. And that was probably the most important to me, is that when it comes down to it, there's so many little things that I really think are just like the reasons why I paint, the reason why I sell the things that I make. And when I started noticing that, it just felt like, oh, this is great. This is what I want. And I feel like I'm more efficient with that with my email list. So again, so many great things that I learned by listening to Jenna, and I won't go into detail about her journey, but I would recommend that you go into that episode again. It's 588, and you can listen all about her email list journey. She also tells you about her email list challenge. It's called 0 to 250, and I did it several years ago, probably when she first started doing it, and it's still available. You can go do that and try it out and see how you can add some people to your email list, and I think that you will find all kinds of wonderful things happen when you put a little bit more effort into your email list. Now, if you already have an email list, hopefully today you had some more reasons to put maybe just like recommit to your email list, right? And maybe your heart told you while you listened just maybe 1 to 3 ways that you can do that. And there's lots of ways you can do that. And I just hope that you're having an amazing experience with your email list. And it's been good for me. So I send you lots of good vibes in that department. Okay, so I want to end with our red pill for the week. So last week I talked a little bit about how when we see evil in the world, one way to stop the evil is to stop giving them money to do the evil. Okay, and then I heard a couple of really important some videos of some things that were shared this past week. One happened at Thanksgiving Point in Utah County, in Utah, and it was Glenn Beck and his friend, I can't remember his name, but he's like a constitution guru, and they shared about ESG, and it was very fascinating, really tied a lot of this stuff, talked about different the problems with it that they saw, but then also some solutions that they have found as well. And I thought that was great. And then also Mel Kay, if you haven't heard about Mel Kay, she's from New York City. She's just wonderful. I smile whenever I think about her. But she was part of, I think it was like the Great Awakening tour with Clay Clark. Anyways, there is a video that I will embed in the show notes. I'll put the one with Glenn Beck and his buddy, and then I'll also put this one with Mel Kay. And you kind of want to skip to like 3 hours and 29 minutes in to get to Mel's, because it's like 9 hours, basically their whole tour. She posted that, but her little talk is excellent. And she goes into more things along this, along these ideas, and these subjects. But I want to tell you that, so I was kind of sharing a little bit about it with Carl and then another friend, and I was thinking about how I started learning about ESG maybe the beginning of pandemic or just before, gosh, probably a couple of years before I started kind of hearing little bits and pieces about it. But then when pandemic hit, I think I finally understood more about it. Like before, it just kind of seemed like this just this political correctness within businesses. And that's kind of, that was my understanding of it before. And then when the pandemic hit, I started to look into it and kind of see the multifaceted, just different things about it. And then it kind of like lost, I don't know, people just weren't talking about it for a while, but recently it's come up again. And I think I understand it better than ever. So I have to tell you that just for kicks and giggles, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do a search to see if there's a really good, like just a basic definition of what ESG is. And so I looked and there was an ad, you know, there's always an ad. And I was like, ah, I'll click on that and see, because it's always interesting what people feel like, oh, this is important enough that we're going to pay money for you to see this at the top of your search results, right? So this is by Capital Group. And they basically did a study that says Capital Group ESG Global Study of 2022. And they just had a few bullet points. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, but this is their basic intro. And it says many investors are contemplating how to integrate environmental, social, and governance, ESG, issues into their investing decisions. In this, our second ESG annual study, we surveyed more than 1,100 global professionals, including advisors, consultants, and intermediaries. The result is a comprehensive report providing in-depth ESG insights, thoughts on ESG trends, and views regarding ESG regulation. So I will just add that since this is their second one, I'm kind of curious to see how it went, what they found last year. So that's interesting. Okay, so here are their four key takeaways. The first one, ESG integration remains the most used implementation strategy, followed by thematic investing and impact investing. Number two, accessing ESG data poses particular problems for investors. In fact, a lack of robust ESG data is one of the largest barriers to ESG adoption. Number three, fewer investment professionals than last year say greenwashing is prevalent, and yet fears of a mis-selling scandal triggered by greenwashing are on the rise. Oh, so interesting. And the last one, the challenges with inconsistent ratings underscore the important role of active managers who can employ fundamental analysis to identify intrinsic ESG value and risks. So again, really, really interesting. And I will link to this. You can download the report. You can also download some infographic, like just key findings that they discovered. So, and then there's even a video by Jessica Ground, who's the global head of ESG. So that's very, very interesting. So again, that's in Capital Group. And then I will say that I also found, this is an article on Liberty First. And I just kind of wanted to see what, because, you know, obviously we all want to be good neighbors. We want to be sustainable. There's a lot of like good intentions with ESG, but I kind of wanted to see what are some potential problems? You know, they kind of mentioned that there could be some problems with this Capital Group, but I wanted to see what do we need to be looking out for. So this particular article is from June 12th of this year, 2022, and it's by Neilan Noble. And he asked the question, and why are so many advocates of liberty deeply concerned about them, meaning the ESG scores? He says, Klaus Schwab and a growing list of powerful global economic and political elites, including BlackRock CEO Larry Fink. By the way, you will hear about Larry in Mel K's talk. Glenn Beck. I don't think Glenn Beck talked about it, but I thought it was interesting. Mel K talked about Larry Fink. So again, he's the CEO of BlackRock. And I mentioned this last week, BlackRock and Vanguard. Those are the ones that you kind of want to look into. So going back, it says BlackRock CEO Larry Fink and President Joe Biden have recently committed to a global, quote, reset of the prevailing school of economic thought. They seek to supplant the entrenched, quote, shareholder doctrine of capitalism, which, as Milton Friedman famously exposed over espoused over 50 years ago, holds that the only purpose of a corporate executive is to maximize profits on behalf of company shareholders. To replace shareholder capitalism, Schwab, Fink, Biden, and legion of their peers have promulgated a nouveau stakeholder doctrine, commonly referred to as stakeholder capitalism. This approach, which aims to harness and the growing clamor for more socially conscious corporate design making, authorizes, incentivizes, and even coerces corporate executives and directors to work on behalf of social objectives deemed by elites to be desirable for all corporate stakeholders, including communities, workers, executives, and suppliers. Environmental, social, and governance, ESG scores, a social credit framework for sustainability reporting, are being used as the primary mechanism to achieve the shift to a stakeholder model. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff in here. And again, I will link to this so you can kind of look a little bit deeper into this article. But what is interesting is that what I'm concerned with is we have opportunities to invest in our retirement, right? So the question is, how do we know where to invest? How do we know what's going to help us, but also help our community and help the world? And sometimes what I'm feeling in my heart is that political correctness is not always, it's not as beneficial as we think it's going to be. I think that our hearts, when we, it doesn't matter how good our hearts, whatever the place they may be, it doesn't guarantee the outcome, right? And so that's the problem, is here we are investing in these companies, and then we find out that somebody like Larry Fink of BlackRock actually has more power in forcing those companies to do certain things, and we may not actually believe in the things that Larry Fink believes in. So even though I just have to laugh, you guys. I don't know why, but it totally cut out. Heads up, you can record for 30 minutes. Okay, good to know. So basically, going back, I feel it's really, I will say, I figured I said the wrong word. You know, if you say Larry Fink and BlackRock, you get ousted, but it looks like they just have a 30-minute recording limit here on Anchor. I'm trying lots of different things today. But anyways, okay, so going back, we have these good intentions. Personally, and I think that we just can't guarantee the outcomes. So again, I think it is important to kind of just be more aware of what companies are being forced to do, even though, that may not be their, they start this company, they have this vision, and then when it comes down to it, once you go public, you really can't always be the ultimate controller of the direction that your company continues to head in, right? Like, I've seen quite a few episodes recently. Gosh, I'm trying to remember what was the show that I was watching not too long ago? Anyways, you know me, I like to watch these crazy shows, but basically it happens very often that you have an engineer, a technician, somebody that knows how to do things. It happens a lot, I think, in the online world, and they figure out how to do something. They have this amazing product, and then somebody else comes in with a board and they get the funding, and that's very exciting. And then slowly you kind of lose all that initial just integrity that company was built on. And it's really sad. So then I just don't want to be the person that's continuing the problem, right? When I invest with these companies that are basically being steered by, ESG or just groups that feel a certain way, you kind of lose, you just feel like you're not even supporting them anyway. At some point you're like, am I even helping this company? Because, I believed in everything when they started, and now I just don't know what's going on, and they don't know what's going on. So it's interesting things to consider and think about. So again, there's your ESG red pill, but check out both Mel Kay and Glenn Beck. Their episodes, you know, it's really, really good. They were really talks. These were both talks recently from this past week. But I think it'll give you lots of things to think about. Again, I don't have all the answers, but I do have a lot of questions. And we're just moving through this together. And I think it's important. So anyways, I just want to send a lot of love to you today. I am going to go ahead and I've been trying to figure out exactly how to get these songs to work at the end of the episodes. And I realized that if you don't do video on Anchor, you can definitely have these songs show up in Spotify. So Ue Matet and Chega de Saudade will both be at the end of this episode. So if you're listening on Spotify, you'll definitely be able to listen to those. They're beautiful songs. And then guess what I'm going to be doing the rest of the day? Well, maybe not the rest of the day, but after I get something to eat, I'm going to go get an email ready. So if you're on my email list, you can look out for that. And yeah, I just want to send a lot of love to you today from the Candy Colored Studio.